dear fellow redeemed in Christ. The number of laws that the Jewish rabbis counted in the books of Moses, the Torah, was 613. There are laws about ceremonial cleanliness, types of sacrifices, the settling of various disputes between neighbors, many topics, many laws. After looking at this, I then went to the State of Minnesota list of laws and statutes. What God gave Israel through Moses is nothing compared to what we give ourselves through our legislators here in Minnesota. I didn't count them, but the categories include agriculture, commerce, banking, conservation, natural resources, recreation, water, education, children and families, health, transportation. These and dozens of other categories have regulation upon regulation. And Minnesota is not unique among the various states of our republic. Laws, regulations, statutes, there are good intentions behind them. If something needs protection, then make a law to protect it and to punish those who disobey. Show what is the right way to live. And that doesn't seem such a bad thing. Jesus teaches about the law in these words from St. Matthew. What we heard in our text from Matthew 22 is his response to a question from a Pharisee, a question that followed several other interactions with Sadducees as well as Pharisees, the intent of which was to try to trick Jesus into giving an answer that would allow them to have Jesus condemned as a false teacher, as a blasphemer, as someone who deserved to be punished. Now, Jesus knew their intent and easily sidestepped their traps. But as Jesus deftly moved past their attempted snares, he is also teaching them truth. Even these enemies of his may benefit from his teaching if only they will listen, if only they will believe. Jesus quoted from Deuteronomy and Leviticus, books from the Torah, which the Pharisees knew very well. He's able to show them that among the many hundreds of laws, there's a greatest commandment and a second one. These are the ones which summarize, which encapsulate the life of God's people in relation to God, first and foremost, and then their neighbors. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your mind. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. We just read through the Ten Commandments. The first three are summarized by love God. 4 through 10 are summarized by love your neighbor. Now in chapter 10 of St. Luke, in a similar line of questioning, Jesus was asked a follow-up question, who is my neighbor? Then we get that story of the Good Samaritan. Jesus teaching that the word neighbor is not how we necessarily might want to define it, but it's asking us, who needs my help? But this second of the great commandments is dependent upon the greatest, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Now, at first glance, we might think, or maybe hope, that when Jesus reduces 613 laws down to 2, that he's making things easier. But of course, that is not the case. Jesus is teaching how much we are obligated to love, and it is more than we can ever achieve. That little word, all, which modifies heart and soul and mind, does not allow you to keep back part of your heart for another love, nor part of your soul for another desire, nor part of your mind for other thoughts. And what about the word love? Some foolish people just want to say, love is love. And we can respond, well, yes, very nice. Abomination is abomination. And God uses that word too. Love is not about affirming what God condemns. And so what is it? In the Large Catechism, Luther teaches about this great commandment, and he wrote, "The purpose of this commandment is to require true faith and trust of the heart, which settles upon the only true God and clings to him alone." It's like saying, see to it that you let me alone be your God and never seek another. In other words, whatever you lack of good things, expect it from me. Look to me for it. And whenever you suffer misfortune and distress, crawl and cling to me. I will give you enough and help you out of every need. Only do not let your heart cleave to or rest on any other. Luther includes faith and trust as foundational to knowing what it means to love God. There is no other true God. There are many false gods, but only one true God. Now, this 22nd chapter of Matthew closes with a question Jesus poses to those who've been questioning him. He points to Psalm 110 and asks, "Who is that psalm about?" It speaks of King David, but also points to someone David calls his Lord. Who is that Lord? Well, they won't answer. Jesus wants them to hear, to see, to believe that the Lord of Messiah of Psalm 110 is about the Messiah, the one who is both true God and true man. In fact, it is about the very one with whom they were speaking. Jesus is David's Lord. This is finally about believing that the God to whom we are to give all our heart and soul and mind is Jesus, the Son of God, our Savior. The burden of the law, the oppressiveness of knowing how much is required and how little we can do, even with the best sincerity and intention, that burden has to be dealt with by another. And that another is this Jesus. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. These two great commandments, love God and love your neighbor, are fulfilled by the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus wanted those Sadducees and Pharisees to know and believe that truth. The perfect law of God is showing their need. Jesus shows and speaks to them of how he himself takes care of that need. He is all which the law requires. He desires you to know and to believe, to trust that same truth. That is what he's about. He is love which comes to us while we were still sinners, to die and rise again, to live forever. And that is what he gives you freely and fully. Believe it. As you heard from the Catechism, God speaks to you. Whenever you suffer misfortune and distress, crawl, cling to him, he says. He goes on, I will give you enough and help you out of every need. That's his promise for every one of you. Believe it in Jesus' name. Amen.